name is Riley. I'm an alcoholic. All right, so yeah, this is my first time speaking. I'm nervous as shit, but oh well. All right, so you know, growing up, you know, it was a pretty normal childhood, just a middle class family. You know, I had two older brothers and one younger brother. He's actually my identical twin. We're 4 minutes apart. You know, we're inseparable growing up. Always in the same classes. You know, we would switch and help each other, like, on tests all the time. And, you know, everyone always asked, like, you know, did girls think you guys, like, did you ever, like, hook up with another person's girlfriend? And I was just like, no, they would always, like, come up with some shit saying, like, you know, that we look different. And I was just like, well, we're identical twins, so I don't really see where you get that. But, you know, anyways, so I started drinking and using at about, like, the age of 13 and 14. My first drink was, you know, it's a Bud Light. My dad gave it to me and let me try it. And it was just from there, it was like off to the races. It was like, I don't know what feeling I was trying to hide at that point in my life, but it was just something, just being so mischievous and, you know, getting outside of myself that I just felt amazing. And so, you know, going into high school, you know, I thought drugs and alcohol were bad. And I always, like, looked down, you know, at the people that used them. And then, you know, once high school started, you know, and I started using and drinking a lot more, like, really heavily, like, I looked just to start using every day and just to try to get outside of myself. You know, I was always, you know, bullied for my weight and my size growing up. We would always, I played soccer and, what was it? I started probably when I was 10, you know, and that's been a passion that I've, you know, always had. You know, I coached soccer, I reffed it and played. Had a couple of scholarships to go play, you know, at smaller schools, one being like Coker College up in North Carolina and Spartanburg in South Carolina. But I was just too busy drinking to go and experience that. Whenever I was supposed to go up for a tryout, I went out with some buddies the night before and didn't come home until a couple of days later and just completely forgot about it. And how that happened, only God knows. And so, you know, around, when was it? Oh man. Around, you know, 16 is when it really started progressing. You know, I was introduced to, like, other substances. And, you know, from there, it was just every day, like, lying and stealing from my family, you know, manipulating others. And I stole probably over, like, $15,000 worth of jewelry from my parents and just pawned it, like, under mine and a bunch of other people's names, and it just made me feel horrible, but I didn't give a shit, you know. Like, I would always tell myself, I'm not gonna do it, you know, like, walking all the way into their room, into the drawer, opening it up, and then once I got it, I'd be like, all right, well, I'm just gonna take one piece. And my dad, you know, found pawn receipts in my car and confronted me about it. And, you know, I lied. I said, no, I think when I left, I might have left the door unlocked and someone, like, probably came and robbed our house. And he's like, well, I think you're full of shit, because, like, if someone's going to come rob the house, they're not going to take just one piece of jewelry. They're going to take all of it. And I was like, well, you got me there. But, you know, and so from that, I was just like, and, you know, stealing from friends, you know, I was the guy that if I stole from you, I would be over there to help you look for it and look like, oh, man, I can't find it. You know, maybe we should just give up and go do something else. And so in 2014, you know, after my parents, like, sat me down and had an intervention, you know, finding track marks all up and down my arms, you know, they sent me to treatment for the first time. And I thought, all right, you know, I'll go to treatment, I'll do my 30 days, I'll go dry out, learn how to drink and use, and I'll go back and I'll be much better this time, you know, like. So I went and I did 45 days of inpatient, and then, you know, went to a halfway house after, and you know, it was really fun, but I was still young. I'm still young now, but I was only 18, and you know, I was going and trying to get sober for all the wrong reasons. You know, just try to please my parents and, you know, show everybody that I'm doing better so I could try to just get back into their lives and just automatically everything would go away. And so, you know, after 45 days of inpatient and doing an intensive outpatient program and lived in the halfway house for like 2 or 3 months, you know, I lived in the koala house, which was was a horrific experience. It was, you know, just extremely, it was just dirty, you know, it's just, but like, when you're getting sober, it doesn't really matter. But for me, I just use that as an excuse to, you know, just move back home and live with my parents. So I got about 6 months sober, and I just gave up. You know, I thought maybe I could just smoke weed for a little bit. And, you know, so I went and, you know, tried the marijuana maintenance program for a little bit, and then it was just off to the races. And as soon as I started just drinking and using my drug of choice again, it had never stopped. It had never changed. Like, it was just a cycle that was just waiting for me to get back. And so after being out for 2.5 years, it was just, shit got horrible. Like, I got a girlfriend for a little bit. We were together for like 3 months, and like she was a month, we got engaged in 3 months, and she's pregnant, and she got pregnant after a month. So my daughter will be here in January. So that is, you know, that's a blessing in itself, but you know, I won't be able to be a part of her life if I don't stay sober. So after going and losing like countless job opportunities, like I read online that if you just like use Listerine and hydrogen peroxide, you know, you can smoke the day of a drug test and still pass. Well, you know, so I had an interview at Amazon Warehouse to get on, and I was like, all right, well, if I just smoke like one little bowl before and then I use a little peroxide, like an entire bottle of peroxide on the way there, then, you know, I'll be able to pass. And I still failed, and you know, that's just, you know, God showing me that I didn't deserve anything like that, you know, that I needed to go get help. So my brother was going through my phone like an asshole, but I thank him now for it, you know, because he saved my life. But like, why he was going through my stuff, I'm not sure. And so, you know, he saw that I was back and using, and so he confronted me about it and confronted my parents, and they sent me to a detox program again. Sent me to detox, and they said, you know, you don't even have to go to inpatient this time. Maybe you could just do like IOP again, or like just go to detox, and maybe that'll work this time. And after I'd already just tried going to detox countless times before just to get through it. So while I was in detox, you know, I made the decision to go back to inpatient this time, like on my own. Last time I went like kicking and screaming like a little girl. And so after going back, you know, I did 19 days in Turning Point again, and then now I live at the Foundation's house. I have like 60 days clean, and you know, life now is just not what I expected it could turn into in just a matter of 60 days. You know, right off the bat, like a week out of treatment, I got a job at Publix. You know, so that in itself is just a blessing. Like, I actually have some contact with my ex-fiance, like just trying to figure out when the doctor's appointments are after she told me that she fucking hated me and wanted nothing to do with me ever again, which was probably a good decision on her part. But so now, you know, just working at Publix, and you know, it's an easy job, but it's low stress, but I absolutely love it. And I, you know, I wake up, you know, thanking my higher power every day, and like I'm just so grateful for like all the opportunities he has, you know, presented for me. Now, like, I have a sponsor, you know, I'm in the middle of the steps, I'm working them right now, and just life couldn't be any better. Like, it's still really shitty a lot of the times, but it's nothing like it was when I was out there running around like trying to find my next drink or drug every day, like robbing houses and just to going to no ends to get whatever I could. To backtrack a little bit, before I went into treatment in 2014, I stole this girl's debit card after, because we went out on a night partying and she was just extremely drunk. So she told me her PIN number. And so, you know, I was like, sweet, you know, now I can just use it whenever I want. Like, if she gave me your PIN, it's pretty much mine. So, you know, we went to another party and she passed out. So, you know, I used your card to go withdraw money from the ATM. And then I get a call the next day saying, you know, that her card's been reported missing and that they're going to pull surveillance at the store where it got used at, though. And I was just like, oh shit. So whenever they pull that surveillance, they're going to see me hiding in a hoodie pulling money out of the ATM. So I just confessed, you know, and told her that. And, you know, luckily she didn't press any charges. And, you know, it's a miracle that I don't have a record, you know, just countless nights of driving drunk. You know, my parents asked, like, just this last time I was driving my dad's Corolla on I-4 headed back from a night out in Orlando. And I just was driving and I fell asleep and ran into the guardrail, and not even a single scratch was on the car. Like, it just blew the front tire and the back tire out and didn't even scratch the rims. Like, it just, I was just like, I'm not sure how that happened. And, you know, my buddy that was riding with me goes, dude, what the fuck happened, man? And I was just like, you know, some jackass had something on the back of their truck and, like, it wasn't strapped down right. I just ran it over. I was like, you know, what an asshole. Like, how is he gonna do that? Like, doesn't he know who I am, you know? And so that, you know, I call my parents, and luckily roadside assistance was right there, and they changed my tires for me, and I get back. Well, they changed the front one for me and put on my spare, but I only had one. So I'm driving with a flat tire down I-4, and I make it back to Lake Alfred. And right when I'm pulling out of a buddy's neighborhood, you know, a cop is right there, and I'm just like, man, I haven't slept in like 2 days, except for when I was driving into the guardrail. And then so he pulls me over. He goes, you know, you can't drive with that flat. I'm just like, oh, I have a flat tire. Man, thanks. You think you could, like, help me change it? I was like, I don't have another spare. But he's like, you know, and he called somebody, and he had an electronic pump, and, like, he plugged it into my car for me and pumped it up. And he was like, you know, have a nice day. I'm like, wow, thanks. You too, man. And, you know, it's just something that only God, you know, can even imagine, you know. But life now is just absolutely fantastic. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, you know, even with just 2 months sober. Like, it's definitely a humbling experience, you know, something my sponsor always tells me. Like, even when I hit 60 days, I was like, man, I really don't even want to go up there and get a chip. Like, last time around, like, I had more time. I feel like I had more time last time. And so, like, this doesn't really mean anything to me. He goes, well, then don't do it for yourself. Like, go up there and do it for the newcomer. And that really hit home with me. I'm like, even though I'm a newcomer, you know, like, there's someone that's even more new that you can help out and be of service to. So, yeah, I think that's all I got. So, you guys, thanks for letting me speak.